Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Father Ray Irlas, who is the Diocesan Director for the Office of the Propagation of the Faith. How are you, Father?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for inviting me on your program.
Wonderful. Well, we're glad to have you here. I myself want to learn more about this office, and I'm sure our listeners do too. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and start. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Right now, I am pastor of Sacred Heart Parish in Rockport. I was assigned by Bishop Mulvey a couple years ago, about 2.5 years ago. And with that, being a pastor, I also have the position of the director for the diocesan director for the propagation of the faith. So I kind of wear two hats for the diocese. I am a native to Corpus Christi. I've been ordained now a priest 16 and a half years, almost 17 years.
Wonderful.
Come January. And just doing my ministry and enjoying every minute that I have with it.
Great. And so this will be your 17th year as a priest?
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah. And how long have you been at Sacred Heart in Rockport?
Like I said, 2.5 years
ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I came from Our Lady Guadalupe in Alice, where I was pastor there for 12 years.
12 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, again, thanks for being with us. Let's go ahead and talk then about the propagation of the faith. What in the world is that?
Yeah, a lot of people ask that question. What is propagation of the faith? And basically, there's a couple of aspects to the propagation of the faith, and one is to promote mission awareness among the people of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. It's very important that we understand that the Church is global, and there are many aspects in the world where the Church is still missionary. And as a matter of fact, if you stop and think about it, our own country, the United States itself, was a missionary country in the beginnings of the nation. And so we would have missionary priests come from European countries, France, Spain, and the such, Italy, to come over here to the United States. Well, we're large now, we're developed, and so now we send missionaries throughout the world, but also still people from other parts of the world, they come and share their lives with us, their missionary work with the people of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. So that's how we get to know more about our brothers and our sisters in the vineyard. The other thing is we also collect funds for the support for the missions, and that comes through World Mission Sunday, which will be celebrated October the 20th, next month. And again, that's a celebration in our masses on that Sunday, where once again we promote missionary activity in our parishes, and we get to know more about what other missionaries are doing in their part of the world. So stories are shared. Pastors can share missionary stories that maybe they've been on, so that the people sitting in the pew can hear about what's going on in the world today. Also, I invite, as the director of the diocese, I invite missionaries to come into our diocese. As a matter of fact, at this very moment, I have back at Sacred Heart a missionary that has come in from South Sudan, and he shared his life, his stories of the Diocese of Torit, T-O-R-I-T, with our parish a couple of weekends ago, and this past weekend he was at St. Mary Star of the Sea in Aransas Pass, and he shared again his stories with the community there. And this coming weekend he'll be at St. Joseph in Port Aransas.
So, Father, share with me for the listeners.
Yes.
We've heard the word missionary, but in a nutshell, what does a missionary do? They come and they speak to people about Christ. They evangelize. Do they have particular purposes? What is a missionary?
Yeah, a missionary is one who brings the gospel message. We're all missionaries by virtue of our baptism. So a missionary is one who preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. In particular, when we talk about missionaries coming from other countries, we have to understand that there's a lot of places, India, Africa, South America, that are still developing. And there are priests and religious consecrated brothers and sisters that are doing a great, great work of evangelization down there. But they need our help, not just monetary, but, of course, they need our prayers as much as we need theirs. Even though we're a developed country, we can't sit here and say, oh, we're great and, you know, we have all the monies and stuff like that. We need their prayers also. As much as we need to pray for them, they pray for us. So that's really how we share the gospel with one another. And it's great to hear the stories because sometimes we just think the church is our own backyard.
Yes, we've looked internally and
exactly.
We forget that we're a part of a larger, as you said, global community.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, just recently at Most Precious Blood, there was a sister from the Philippines.
Yes.
And her story of her missionary work was just heartbreaking, and I'll share why. She tries to protect and rescue ladies from prostitution in the Philippines.
Yes.
And the main reason why they're in prostitution is not because they want to be. It's because they're in poverty,
yes.
And that's the only source of income that they have. But not only that, there is a human trafficking element, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that even young ladies as young as 8 years old are being forced into prostitution. And it really hit home because here I have my 8-year-old daughter sitting next to me, my 6-year-old daughter sitting on the other side of me. And she's coming appealing to us for some funds so that she could help these young ladies and rescue them out of prostitution. It's just horrendous, and it's an issue that's global.
Yes.
But the fact that she's coming as a missionary and pleading.
Yes.
And that's how it was put, that she is our sister, and a family member should never come in and beg. And so they were asking us to be generous and to offer prayers. And she said she was going to pray for us and that at the end of Mass we could go and give her our intentions. And then she sang to us. It was so beautiful. But can you share with us then what are some of the other missionary efforts? So obviously there was a specialization for this sister. She was rescuing people from prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other communities that have specialized mission work?
Well, that's, like you said, that is one story. And the sister that spoke at your parish was one of the sisters or one of the missionary organizations that I invited.
She did thank you, by the way, for bringing her in. Uh-huh.
Yes. And so that is just one story of many. The missionary that I have, Father Leo, come to us from South Sudan. You know, South Sudan, he's been sharing with us, it just became, which I did not know, just became an independent country a couple of years ago after many years of war. And so you have the North and you have the South. And it's still, there's a lot, because of the war, there's a lot of underdevelopment. He's amazed right now with the simple things that we have that we take for granted. Good roads.
Water.
Clean water, yeah. Buildings. And the fact that when he looks at neighborhoods, he's just amazed at, you know, how spread out we are. In his country, it's like wherever you can find, you know, a piece of property to put something on, you know, they're going to build something right there. And just a simple thing as a bridge. He was sharing with me how just getting from one place to another, you might have to cross a river. And if you have two vehicles, and he was showing me pictures also about bringing one vehicle pulling another vehicle across the waterway, and then also pictures of priests and young men pushing the vehicles across that waterway.
And so developments in other countries so that the quality of people's lives could increase.
Yes.
And at the same time, sharing with them the good news and the news of love, that we're called to love one another.
Exactly. So you asked the question, what are the things that that missionaries do? Well, they build homes for the people that are left homeless. They the development of or building of churches. They might be little chapels, just a place where they can come inside and celebrate the Holy Eucharist, and many different things. That need development. The monies that we receive on their behalf, then we send to their diocese so that they can do what is necessary. Especially working with the young people, it's so very important.
Well, like I said, I held back all my tears when I heard this sister speaking about her work, and I looked at my daughters, and it was really a reality check that we do take things for granted, you know, working toilets, buildings, places of worship. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation on the propagation of the faith.
This is Labors of Love.
Engaged or married couples are invited to St. Peter, Prince of Apostles Parish on Violet Road, Saturday, September 28th. A natural family planning class conducted by Steve and Ann Craig will be offered from noon till 2 p.m. Natural family planning is the method used to help married couples achieve or postpone pregnancy the natural way, without drugs, devices, or surgery. For complete information, visit nfpandmore.org. For class materials or additional details, call the Craigs at 767-1228.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alaria, and again, I'm here with my guest, Father Ray Irlas, who is the director for the Diocesan Office of the Propagation of the Faith. Before our break, Father, we had just a great conversation about missionary work, and it also brought to mind a fond memory of when I would do missionary work about 10 years ago with my parish.
Mm-hmm.
We would go to Villa Gran Tamaulipas in a big RV. About 6 or 7 of us were packed in that one RV, and we would go to these places called ejidos,
mm-hmm.
or little villages, and we would bring the good news to the people there. And what I noticed was just a very humbling people that were so ready to hear the word of God and ready to welcome us the 3 to 4 times we went there every year. They had huts, so their homes were made out of literally branches, and their roofs were made out of mud.
Mm-hmm.
And they all shared an outhouse. They probably had one phone line for 40 little huts. And it was just so humbling. But you're right, they could only go to school up to a certain grade, because then they'd have to go many towns and many distances to continue their education.
Mm-hmm.
The men there were farmers and would take care of the animals, and they would perhaps not have a chapel. And so we would go and build a chapel for them,
mm-hmm.
So that they could worship. And it happened to be that the chapel was the most well-built facility there, made out of brick,
mm-hmm.
because that's how they wanted it.
I share the same situation with you, because I came into the missionary work through my days as a youth visiting the mission that we used to have, which was Arteaga near Saltillo, and we would visit. I think I went there when I was maybe about 18 or 19 years old. And it was just a wonderful experience. But it's funny that you said something, that you brought the gospel message to them, but in fact, we share the gospel message, mm-hmm. with each other. Sometimes we think, well, we're going to go down there and we're going to bring
all the information.
Right, exactly.
You know,
but it's amazing that you see so much richness of faith in the simplicity, even in these undeveloped countries. They feed us. sometimes more than we feed them.
Well, their humility.
Exactly.
I never want it to leave.
And that's something that we, as
we
a people,
we
can definitely use that humility. And so when I became a priest, as a matter of fact, I wanted young people to also experience the same faith sharing that I did. And so in my first couple of years that I was at Guadalupe, I would take groups of people down, or young people, to Arteaga. I wanted them to mm-hmm. know the experience that I had. And many of those young kids still remember when I talk with them, "Oh, Father, you know, we miss those missions. We miss those days of going to the mission, how wonderful it was." And it is. It's a beautiful time to share our faith with others, especially when young people can come together and share their life and experiences with other young people from different countries. There's so much joy and there's so much richness involved there.
And there's an awareness that sometimes, many times, we take so many things for granted.
That is so true.
That the materialistic society we live in mm-hmm. is...
I find it sad, though, the situation that's in Mexico, especially in the border areas, that have prevented us from doing so, taking young people once again. In my parish now at Sacred Heart, we have a couple of missionaries who have this organization called Kids to Kids. And they do, Norman Maria Kaysberg, and they do wonderful, wonderful work with the people down there in the border area. And again, they invite us all the time to come down. We just haven't had a chance to really develop that program from our youth. Our youth group, and I'm trying to develop that to bring them down just to the border area. They don't have to cross over, mm-hmm, but they can get a good experience of missionary work even on this side.
Well, that's what I was going to say. We can be missionaries even mm-hmm. in our own families,
that's
in
true.
Our own communities.
Yeah.
And you're right. As a matter of fact, when we would go across the border, we couldn't tell them that we were bringing the good news to the people across because they wouldn't let us go.
Yeah.
So that was always interesting to just get across.
Yeah, yeah.
So go ahead and tell me, there are a few other arms or subsets of the propagation of the faith. Can you speak about those?
Well, one of those is Missionary Childhood Association. It was formerly known as the Holy Childhood Association, and now it's called MCA. And that really is children helping children. In many of the schools, the Catholic schools, or in our churches, religious education programs, the children are educated in missionary work, learning more about a different country, and also saving dimes, quarters, dollars, and the funds that are collected are used for whatever is designated from the national office.
Well, I can't stress the importance of using or giving monetarily. We can give in prayer, which is needed everywhere. But at the same time, these organizations, these missionary organizations, function off of our generous mm-hmm. financial supports.
Another aspect, or another arm, as you mentioned it, is called the Society of St. Peter, the Apostle. And really the goal of the society is to invite individuals to support the education of candidates for Catholic priesthood in developing countries, and also to support the formation of men and women candidates for the religious life in the missionary field. So this is very important. We need priests, and especially in developing countries. And so through the Society of St. Peter the Apostle, you know, we're able to fund young men and women who are in these developing countries to get an education in the seminary or in their formation homes, formation houses, that is. And just as an example, when the Society of St. Peter first started out, it was supporting only 2,700 seminarians.
Worldwide?
Worldwide, yes.
Okay.
And this was it was formed back in the 1800s. And now some 30,000 major seminarians are being supported, and mostly in Africa and in Asia.
So in other words, you might have someone who desires to be a priest, but they don't have the funds, nor do their families have the funds to send them to college to receive formation.
And this would be in the developing world, though.
Okay.
Yes. And again, monies that are received through the propagation of the faith for Society of St. Peter the Apostle, those monies would be designated to help educate a seminarian or a religious sister or brother.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then you also have the Missionary Union of Priests and Religious.
Yeah, and this is also to help those that are already in the missionary work, priests and religious sisters and brothers, to animate them to go forth and to become missionaries. As it stated, it's animators inspiring other animators to carry out the baptismal mandate to go out to all nations and to proclaim the good news. So through this arm of the propagation of the faith, we're asking priests and religious and sisters and brothers to reanimate themselves, to go forth and to truly preach the good news and evangelize, and to become a missionary if that is their calling.
So we're called to be missionaries, and you just mentioned the Great Commission to go out to the ends of the earth. Mm-hmm. How would you encourage maybe a listener that can't necessarily go out of country and physically be there supporting the missions, might offer some financial support and prayers, but how would you encourage them to be a missionary in their families or just in their own communities?
Well, one aspect of that is pray for vocations. We need more priests. We need more religious sisters and brothers to work the missionary fields. And the missionary field is also in our own backyard. So, so we can pray, continue to pray for missionary zeal here.
It takes a certain person to be a missionary.
That is true. And anyone who brings the gospel is, like I said, is a missionary. But in this very particular way, we need priests, we need sisters and brothers in the consecrated life to promote the good works of the church. And we all do this together.
It's a communal effort.
It is. And, of course, continue to pray for our brothers and sisters to the farthest end of the world and in between. That's really how one can take the active role as a missionary. And if there is ability to lend financial support, by all means do so. And they can always do so by contacting my office.
And what is your office number, Father?
They can contact me through the Diocese of Corpus Christi downtown or at my office at Sacred Heart in Rockport.
Okay. Well, thanks for being with us. Stay with us. Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
There is no denying that many of us, as we grow older, begin to experience memory lapses, or as some people call them, senior moments. How many times have you walked into a room, and once there, your mind went totally blank, and you realize you had no idea why you were there? Maybe you're looking for your car keys, and after wandering from room to room searching for them, discover that they're in your hand. Or perhaps you can't find your glasses until someone tells you to look on your head. These are all examples of what these so-called senior moments consist of. Unless these moments involve more serious issues, we tend to brush them off and laugh about it. However, in some situations, these moments involve serious health issues. In these cases, it is sometimes necessary for a doctor to examine the person suffering from these lapses in judgment. We have many people, usually the elderly, suffering from a diagnosis of either dementia or Alzheimer's disease. As we care for these loved ones, they often say very poignant things that we may laugh about, but which should seriously give us cause to reflect upon our own lives. You may be caring for a loved one suffering from the ravages and delusions of one of these or another disease. On the wall in the room in which they stay, there may be a picture of a house with a large front porch lined with white flowering shrubs. You see your loved one staring at the picture and you ask them what they're looking at. They respond, "They're feeding marshmallows to the birds." After a moment, they turn and look at you as if you were very far away, and they ask, "What's your name?" You respond and have to clarify who you are. Then they ask, "Do you remember when we used to feed the birds? They really liked our marshmallows." You might ask them about something that happened a short while before, an hour or a day, and their response is to look blankly at you, as if they have no idea who you are. In a more lucid moment, they might refer to something and then say, "I remember a long time ago when we... I think I remember, but I'm not sure. It seems like a dream." Times like these may scare us and lead us to beat a hasty, uncomfortable retreat from them. We don't know what to make of the unknown and would rather not deal with it. The same thing happened when Jesus challenged people with something they didn't understand. They would wander off, muttering to themselves and others, "What he is saying is too hard." At the risk of appearing foolish, they couldn't let go of their own false sense of security and control. Senior moments are but gentle reminders of the need to be humble, to laugh at our own frailty, and to not be afraid to love one another, even when doing so might call for us to enter uncomfortable places. Jesus seeks us in every moment of our life. He leaves no stone unturned in his efforts to be with us. He seeks us with the same gentle love of a child or a spouse seeking their relative whose dementia leads them to wander off. May your senior moments become sacred moments, guiding you gently into the embrace of the one who loves perfectly, and may you always know the reality of his presence. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Father Ray Idlas, who is the director for the Office of the Propagation of the Faith. If you would like more information about how to support the missions, please call 361-729-9203. Thanks again for joining us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.